This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
The Book of Equanimity. Case 60. In preface. With splendid noses, each one is endowed with a powerful appearance. With firm, real footsteps, who needs to learn Grandma Zen? Penetrate the activity of the ungraspable nose, and you'll see the method of the true adept. Tell me, who is such a person? The main case. Ryu Tetsuma arrives at Isan's place. Then Isan says, "Old cow, you've come." Ryu Tetsuma said, "There's a big feast on Mount Tai tomorrow, teacher. Are you going?" Isan lay down. At that, Ryu Tetsuma left. In the verse, 100 battles merit growing old in great peace. Being serene, who's to pick at the details of strategy? Jeweled whip and golden horse passing the day at leisure. Bright moon and refreshing breeze enriching a lifetime. So we have here a dialogue between Isan and one of the few women mentioned by name in the koan collections, Ryu Tetsuma, an old student of Isan's who's now come for a visit. She is known by the nickname, in other cases, Iron Grinder Ryu. The implication being that she just grinds to dust any monk who she has Dharma combat with. Maybe our equivalent of Iron Grinder would be something like Old Ball Buster. But so she was supposed to be a very formidable character. And for better or for worse, she illustrates the kind of equality women have been traditionally offered in Zen practice. The teaching and the training is open to women, but they prove themselves by being as tough as the men, if not tougher. There's very little of the feminine that comes through in women in these cases. That's a big part of what I know is changing in American Zen in our generation. So Ryu Tetsuma comes to visit Isan, and he says, "Old cow, you've come." Old cow is both is a kind of humorous pejorative, the sort that Zen teachers like to throw around. But the cow is apparently also means a female water buffalo. And the water buffalo is the ox of the ox herding pictures, a symbol of enlightenment. So it's also a backhanded form of praise to call her the old cow. And Isan himself is known in other cases to have said, after I die 200 years from now, a water buffalo will be born in this valley with the figures for Isan on its side. Tell me, will you call that creature Isan or a water buffalo? So he's also identified with the water buffalo, and in a certain sense, there's a identification and a familiarity in him tossing this image back and forth. And the image of the water buffalo and the old cow is what's referred to in the preface. With splendid noses, each is endowed with a powerful appearance, right? Two fine-looking animals. Now, what's also unusual about this case is that in a way it is a story about play among equals. It's not the kind of koan we usually hear with a novice student coming to an old master asking a question, leaving either bewildered or enlightened, but there being a great gap between the teacher and the monk. This is a very different kind of dialogue, and I thought in a certain way it would be interesting to open Sesshin with a picture that comes from the end of practice, from two old teachers enjoying themselves together. Now, the little game that they're playing is about coming and going, and is there anything to get or not? So Isan says, you've come. Well, when we go someplace, we're usually looking for something. Lots of you have come here from far away. What are you lacking? What are you looking for? Don't you know there's nothing to gain, nothing to get? Don't you realize just by showing up, you're making a terrible mistake? So that's the little way he's teasing Rietsuma. You've come? And she says back, there's a big feast on Mount Tai tomorrow. You going to go? Now, Mount Tai is supposedly hundreds, if not 1,000 miles away from where this is taking place. So she teases him in turn. Oh, there's a great thing happening far away. Are you going to be part of it, or are you missing it? She tosses the ball right back. And in response, Isan just lies down on the ground. There's no place to go. I'm right here. Any big feast, right? It's happening right here, right now. Okay. And with that, Rietsuma leaves. Now, they start with, you've come. He lies down. He's not going anywhere. She leaves. There's no winner or loser here. They're playing out a little game about coming and going. Is there anything to get? Is there anywhere to go? The verse uses the imagery of battles and Dharma combat. With 100 battles, merit growing old in great peace. Being serene, who's to pick at the details of strategy? It's like they've both been through 100 battles, 100 Dharma combats. Neither of them has anything to win or lose anymore. They're growing old in great peace together. Who's to pick at the details of strategy? Again, there's no winner or loser here. The jeweled whip and golden horse passing the day at leisure, right? This would be, you know, how someone would ride into battle here with a jeweled whip on a golden horse. But the bright moon and refreshing breeze enriching a lifetime. There's nothing to fight for. We're just enjoying the moon and the breeze together. Now, I think the way we would see a koan like this now, from more of a psychological perspective, is also to look at it in terms of an encounter with difference. But first, the difference of student and old student and teacher, and the difference between man and woman. Now, what we're presented with is ways in which the differences both do and do not make a difference. It's just like the way they play at coming and going versus lying down and staying still. Yeah. Those are very different. But in a way, it doesn't matter which side one plays on and which side the other plays on. They fully occupy their own role, their own difference. And there's not one to be preferred over the other. If you just lie down, if you say everything is right here, I don't need to get anything going or go anywhere, that's fine. But you miss out on something else. Shoko, used to say, you know how far I would go to meet a visiting Dharma teacher? Maybe across the room? Eh? She used to really want to emphasize, life is the teacher. Everything you know, need to know is right here, in your own mind, in your own body, on your own cushion. Don't go running around thinking, that one's got it. Oh, this enlightened guy's coming to town. I've got to go hear him. Right? She really made a big point of poo-pooing all of that stuff. And of course, I went 3,000 miles, you know, many times a year for a decade to hear her talk that way. There's something there's a great pleasure in traveling to encounter and play with someone else who knows there's nowhere to go and nothing to get. It's fun to have playmates, but sometimes you have to travel to meet them. Yeah. It's part of the pleasure of going to Zen teachers' meetings. There's no point, there's nothing to get. But we can enjoy this kind of play. We have to find a way to have practice engage the different sides of ourself. And here we have those sides presented in a way in which there's easy dialogue between the two halves. Mostly we don't experience it that way. Most Zen dialogues were called Dharma combat, and the image of combat is deeply ingrained in a lot of Zen language. A lot of Buddhism talks as if the way to achieve inner peace is to kill the ego. It's a very curious mixed metaphor, right? We have to kill off something in ourselves in order to find peace. I believe it was Michael Wenger who said, people are always exhorting you to practice harder. Maybe we should try practicing softer for a change. The language of killing the ego or Dharma combat or one way or another cutting through, vanquishing desire or attachment is really the language of inner conflict projected out into the practice and into the student-teacher relationship. So much of what brings us to practice is the fact that we're already at war with ourselves. One part is already trying to kill off another part. And it's all too easy for that kind of inner conflict to get co-opted by the language of practice. And in the name of spirituality, we try to kill our needs, kill our attachments, kill our vulnerability, kill our anger, kill our sexuality, kill our desire for love, kill off anything that will make us need other people and be vulnerable to them. It's a great problem when practice is co-opted by those kinds of inner conflict. And yet, it's also the skillful means of the language of Zen that it draws out that language of conflict and puts it into the koans where we can really see it. We can make it explicit. We can sort of see what we're up to. We can see this whole dilemma that we're always engaged in of feeling like there's something wrong with me that I've got to get rid of. There's something missing that I've got to go get. The whole idea that he's got it and I don't. All these are the sources of inner turmoil and inner self-hate that we project out into these old stories and try to wrestle with them metaphorically and emotionally. But the real resolution of any of these conflicts is never going to be one side killing off the other. We never kill off anything in ourselves. Or at least I hope we don't. The resolution in our practice needs to look a lot more like the resolution in this dialogue. Where two old practice partners play with their difference, play with the whole idea of coming and going, getting or not getting. It's funny because of all the image of cows and water buffaloes in this koan, I found myself thinking of it in terms of a children's book with animals. And I imagined a little children's book about pig and bunny. And bunny is always complaining that pig just lies around all day in the straw, never wants to do anything. Pig complains that bunny's always running around and doesn't know how to sit still. The pig is all dirty, eats too much. Bunny's very fastidious and just nibbles on a carrot, right? Why can't you be more like me, each one says to the other, right? And I would imagine this little picture book with each page, pig and bunny talking about the difference. Well, you know, one is fat and one is sleek. One is fast and one is slow. One is dirty and one is clean, right? But in the very end, the last picture of the page, you would see pig and bunny holding hands. And the caption would be, pig and bunny are friends. This is the koan that we're reading today, right? Isan and Ryo Tsima are friends. They're very different. They're very much the same. Their differences both do and don't make a difference. See if we can look at the different halves of ourselves that are so used to being in combat. The differences that we think make such a big difference between about who we are and what we're supposed to be, where we are and where we think we want to go. Instead of having one half triumph over the other, instead of having a winner and a loser within ourselves, how about if the two sides can be friends?